What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Cold Takes Pod. I'm your host, Cooper Slough, joined by my co-host, Jonah Carlson. Jonah, what is going on with you?
Dude, I'm juiced up. I'm excited. I'm happy to be here. And I'm looking forward to this weekend. Big college football weekend. Football on Sunday as well in the NFL. I don't really care for that as much. Ohio State and Notre Dame play this Saturday. I'm locked in. I'm so happy. I'm excited.
You know where you'll be Saturday night, though? You won't be in front of the TV watching Ohio State and Notre Dame.
I'll be in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium watching ECU lose to Gardner Webb.
Lose to Gardner Webb, yeah.
But it is weekend, so hanging out with the family will be nice anyways.
Can we talk about Boone? We don't need to talk about the game, but can we just talk about the experience from like a fan perspective?
That was garbage.
Just so you guys know, ECU football played at Appalachian State this past Saturday. And from Greenville, North Carolina, which is where ECU is, to Boone, North Carolina, which is where App is, it is about what do you think, like 6 hours, 6.5 hours, like total?
Yeah, I would put 5.5, 6 hours.
Yeah, so that part sucked because we were already at about a 12-hour round trip, and part of that round trip was driving back from Boone to Raleigh on Saturday night at like 1 a.m., so that sucked. Boone is a lot like Greenville. Boone is a college town. Boone would not exist if App State didn't exist in the same way that Greenville wouldn't exist if like we didn't have ECU. So that's dope. Shout out the Group of Five conference and trying to make your way in life. I hate Appalachian now. Like, dude, that sucked. I think the entire ECU fan base, but me speaking from like personal experience, I have never been treated worse as an away fan ever for any sport, any game, any team. Then, like, you would have thought that 0-2, now 0-3 ECU was like App Super Bowl.
And dude, this is
the biggest game of their life.
They rushed the field after beating us. Like, what?
Dude, that's honestly embarrassing.
Against a team you were favored to beat by a whole touchdown and a half.
Yeah, by more than a touchdown when the line finally closed. Like relax. What? But yeah, I'm already off of college football. We're not talking college football on the pod today, thank goodness, because in my house, we support Miami. They're having a really good season right now. They'll probably beat Temple and go into conference play at 4-0, which is exciting. Obviously, Jonah's a big Notre Dame guy. College game day is going to South Bend. Huge game against Ohio State. But we're not going to talk about college football because ECU just makes us sad. So instead, we're going to hit the NFL. Got a ton of different topics to talk about today. We're going to start with some of the more negative stuff on the docket for the pod today. 0-2 teams. If your team is 0-2, me and Jonah's teams are both 0-2. You're not feeling good. Everybody believes week one. You lose week one. You still don't feel awful. You lose week two. You almost always, unless you're the Bengals last season and go all the way to the AFC Championship after starting 0-2, you pretty much pack the season up and you're like, yeah, like, let's just tank for like the first overall pick. Let's just tank for like a Caleb Williams at that point. But two teams in particular that are really, really struggling out of the gate that I would say most people didn't expect. Chargers and, as I just brought up, the Bengals again are back at 0-2. Jonah, who is the more concerning 0-2 team, the Chargers or the Bengals?
I would say the Bengals. Their team, their roster, their offense is just too good to be 0-2 and not put up any production, really. I mean, the Ravens have a good team, a good defense. So it wasn't that much of a shocker that they lost that game, especially when losing by three. But going back to week one against the Browns, that was terrible. That was more garbage than Boone.
It was rough.
Like three points, everything. Going back, like the Chargers, they played two really, really close games. They lost to the, hold on, I had it pulled up. They lost to the Dolphins by 2 points, and then they lost to Tennessee by 3 points in overtime. So that's a combined total of losing two games by 5 points. And they're putting up numbers, they're putting up offense. Justin Herbert is actually balling out. Like, he's actually playing really well. It's just their defense can't keep him in the game. And I'm less concerned about them. It's actually a shocker to me that either the Chargers or the Vikings will be 0-3 after this week because they play on Sunday. That's just a side note. But I think the Bengals have the greater concern. They are, on paper, a better team than the Chargers, better team than the Browns. You can argue maybe better team than the Ravens, but I mean, that week two result went kind of how I expected. It wasn't really a surprise there. But Joe Burrow, what happened to him? He got hurt in training camp. He might be out next week. Like, is Joe Burrow's run with Cincinnati over? I don't know. That's a huge claim. They're paying him so much money. He just had a massive contract extension. And so far, Bengals are paying him to sit on the bench, pretty much. It's getting the same production as a backup quarterback would put in. It's really rough.
I like everything you said, I think. I think the Chargers are actually the more concerning team. I think when you look at the Chargers, maybe the Bengals have more, like, overall the roster talent if you just went top to bottom. But the Chargers of those two teams definitely have more of that top-end talent. You've got your franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert, who there is more than one person out there, not even Chargers fans, who would argue that Herbert is a better quarterback than Joe Burrow. Obviously, both aren't proving it, but like, there is that argument, especially coming from last season. You've got a top 10 receiver in the league still. Stop disrespecting him in Keenan Allen. You've got a super, super high-end wide receiver too in Mike Williams. You've got maybe the best running back in football with Austin Eckler. And then your defensive side, obviously with Joey Bosa and Derwin James and those guys. Super, super, super top-end talent, offense and defense. Plus Cameron Dicker on special teams. Looks like he might be one of the best kickers in the league. And on top of that, the AFC West looks weaker, like significantly weaker than the AFC North. So yeah, right now, you've got a Chargers team who on paper, and I've been saying it for the last 3 weeks talking about the Chiefs, on paper, the Chargers have the best roster in this division. No doubt, they might have one of the top three or four rosters in the NFC, or in the AFC. No doubt. However, they're still struggling. And this is a roster where you get put in games and you can find a way to win games with the Bengals level of talent, with just mediocre to slightly above average guys everywhere and studs in certain positions. With the Chargers, you have above average talent at least at every single position. Offensive line, defensive line, wide receivers, quarterback, running back, secondary. All of it is at least slightly above average. And then you've got your studs on top of that. Stud should help you win games. That's how basketball is too. You can have an average roster in basketball and be close in games. Studs help you win games. If you don't have studs, you can't win games. Football's the same way. If you got these dudes, I just listed off 6-7 guys. Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Joey Bosa, Derwin James. If you have these guys and you can't close, like, this team is not competitive. And I realized that they played potential AFC champion, it's looking like, led by the potential MVP of the league in Tua, week one. Then you travel to Tennessee. Tennessee has a defensive identity. Mike Vrabel is one of the best coaches in football, and he's super underrated. He's just surrounded with a kind of crappy roster and can't escape it. But he coaches that team so well, and they pull off an upset win. That's great. You can't lose this week. You can't lose to Minnesota. If you lose to Minnesota, that's it. It's just forfeit the other 14 games. Get the number one overall pick. Fire Brandon Staley. And what's crazy is that this team just fired Kellen Moore. And we're like, oh yeah, like, they fired Kellen. Like, that was the issue. Herbert's going to explode. This offense is going to be electric. And to an extent, that's happened. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. We shouldn't be losing these games.
Offense isn't the problem, though. It's really the defense.
I'm just saying, it's a more concerning situation. You've got at least bare minimum at every single position an above average player. I'll add on top of that your superstars, where some teams are lucky to have one guy on offense and one guy on defense. Maybe. This team's got three or four on both sides of the ball. And they're still losing close games. Your superstars should win you close games. Their superstars are losing them close games. And shout out Keenan Allen. Dude's been balling. He's part of my season-long lay. He's going to make me $400 this year. That's fine. It's just empty stats. You can put Kirk Cousins, great example. I think you told me before we started recording. He's on pace for like 6,000 yards. And obviously that's not what's going to happen. He's going to have a game where like he struggles and it's going to get reduced, obviously. But he's on pace for 6,000 yards. Justin Jefferson, if he does what he did these first two games, the next 14, 15 weeks, he's put up 3,000 yards this season. No one's even topped 2,000 before. And the Vikings are also 0-2. Like, what's happening in Los Angeles? It's just empty stats. It's just empty stats, and that's concerning. That we're just putting up numbers just for fun, for no reason. You can score 40, 50, 60 points a game. Doesn't matter. You've got talent on defense. Figure out how to win games. Chargers are definitely more concerning.
I believe it's just everything right now is just an overreaction. It's only been two games in the NFL season. There is 15 more games left to play. And there's plenty of time for both teams to turn around. I personally like to see the Chargers suck, so therefore I have no concern for them. I think they're doing what, you know, they should do best. They continue just doing this for the rest of the season. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're gonna move on. We're gonna head over to the NFC for a little bit, and we're gonna hit on Chicago. I think, honestly, if we're talking about some of the most concerning 0-2 teams, Chicago probably would beat out Los Angeles and Cincinnati. I would say that what's happening in Chicago is, I'd say as an overall just blanket statement, it's pretty unexpected. Some people are like, I could have seen this coming. But nobody, not even me, is like, yeah, they're definitely starting 0-2. And especially the way they've looked. How bad that their 0-2 has been. And that's not even saying that these two teams that they played, the Packers and then the Bucks last week, are like the upper echelon of talent. They've just, like, the Bears have just sucked. They've looked bad. So what we're about to hit on is Justin Fields' time up in Chicago. And I'm going to get it started off by saying, yeah, we're pretty close. Am I benching him this week? No. If he has a bad game next week, am I benching him? Yeah, I'm at that point. And I saw something on Instagram. It might not be true, but it said that the Bears have lost 12 straight games that Justin Fields has started. And I don't know if that's true. I didn't fact check that before we went live. But if that's true, like, that's...
He has 29 NFL starts. So if 12 straight of them are losses, I mean, that's just 12 L's right there. And you can definitely, he didn't go for, trying to do quick math here, 17 straight wins. Like, that didn't happen.
Yeah, so, no, he's definitely, yeah. They went like 5-12 last year or whatever. Maybe it was worse than that. Started 0-2. He's got 12 straight. They didn't go 5-12 because there's no way that the Bears won their first five games or their first seven, I guess, and then lost. There's no way that's true. So they probably hadn't even, you know what? The power of the internet. Chicago Bears record 2022. They went 3-14. They lost their last 10 games. So they started 3-4.
And they're 0-2 now. So that is a true statement. That is true.
So that actually is true. That Fields is flat. He's, oh my God, dude, this is so bad. Okay, you know what? Change the answer. Yes, he's done. And I'm not sure if it's like, it feels like it could be a Chicago thing because we see a lot of like good college quarterbacks go to Chicago and die. Like, I think Mitch Trubisky is a great example. I don't think Mitch was like a second overall pick type good, but Mitch was a really, really good college quarterback. And then he goes to Chicago and he's like just automatic bust, like from like day one. There was no hope, automatic bust. And there was no talent around Mitch. So we're like, okay, we get Fields, who we all think is more athletic, who is more of a dual threat than Mitch Trubisky, who in college maybe has a comparable arm to Mitch Trubisky, and he sucks year one. We're like, yeah, that was expected. They had no defense. They had no receivers. The offensive line sucked. We addressed most, if not all of it, in free agency. And we suck even worse. Fields is still, like, his passing is abysmal. They can't run the ball. They can't get a stop on defense. Like, literally, anything that you would need to happen in a football game to win, like, it's not happening in Chicago. The only constant, and there's still, this is a rotating door, but the only constant that's in Chicago throughout the last 12 months, 15 months, is ownership and coaching. That's got to change. I think that's the only way to do it. Maybe it's not Fields. Maybe it's the coaching around him. Maybe it's the ownership, not want to spend the money and put these right coaches in position. But something's got to change. Fields is done.
I agree with almost everything you said, including coaching. I mean, Fields did come out today and say, and like really blame the coaches for his performance. But I do want to say that I might have been that one fan or one person that kind of expected this. Like, I'm not shocked at all that the Bears suck and that Justin Fields is not an NFL-level quarterback. I mean, I even said it in episode 18 when we were talking about who's going to win the division. I said the Bears are going to be the Bears, and they're going to be picking the top two or three next season. And from the start, like, Justin Fields, he's a running back at quarterback. I've said it before. Again, he's more of a running back than Lamar Jackson, you know, has ever been claimed to be, right? He's averaging, and we did the math earlier because we were very intrigued on how much passing yards per game that Justin Fields has. He threw, on average, 15 starts. On average, he had less than 150 passing yards a game.
That's tough.
In the NFL. You want to know why you lose 12 straight games as a Bears fan? Because you don't have a quarterback who can actually play the quarterback position.
Yeah, you're throwing 150 yards in a game in 2023. In like the 1920s, this is not
exactly.
That would have been like an elite stat line.
Exactly. No, Justin Fields' time in Chicago is numbered. They're just honestly waiting till, I don't think they can trade him. I don't think it has any trade value. Who's going to want Justin Fields as their quarterback? Definitely not their starter, not their backup. If you're like the Jets, and or the Jets, like, you know, situation where you have a star quarterback who gets hurt and Justin Fields has to come in and is your starter for the rest of the year, that's terrible. No one's going to want that. I think honestly, I don't know what the Bears are going to have to do. Their ownership and GM and everything is just in shambles right now. They got to find another quarterback quick. They can't trade for one. They got to sign someone. They got to maybe just wait it out the rest of the year and, you know, hope for success. Obviously keep coaching the guy, keep trying to work on the problems. But if Fields continues playing like he has this year and how he has last year and his rookie year, his time in the NFL is definitely done.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing, is that this is year three now, right? And yes, we're still seeing things that you even see, like Richardson and Stroud and even Bryce Young to an extent, like looking
CJ
better.
Stroud, in week two, his second ever NFL game, he led the entire league last week in passing yards. He's thrown, I think, 300 passing yards in each of his first two games.
Oh yeah, he's like six right now, like in the league. Like
he's balling
the first
out.
Two games. Yeah, he looks.
I think that's two more 300 yard passing games than Justin Fields has.
So he has zero.
yeah.
It might Stroud be more 200 yard. It might be more 200 yard passing games.
It might be.
All right. We'll put a pin in that. Fields is cooked. Whatever. Last topic before we hit the internet take of the week. Carolina Panthers. Let's talk about my boys. Disappointing week one. We bounced back. We actually played a lot better in week two. We lost. We're still 0-2. doesn't matter how close you play a game if you still lose. But we had some big injuries. J.C. Horn is going to be out for a couple weeks. Shaq Thompson, who is the leader of our defense as our linebacker, he's out for the season now. He fractured his tibia, ankle. I'm a PT major, so I should probably know what he fractured, but can't remember off the top of my head. Something serious with his ankle, lower leg. He's out for the season, and we still find a way to get it to a three-point game. As pretty much time expires, we kick an onside kick, they recover, that's the game. But through the first two games, you've seen really, really high moments out of Bryce Young, and you're like, wow, he could be like a really good quarterback in this league, and maybe 10 years down the line, he's won two or three MVPs in a Super Bowl. You see that. But I say about 75 to 80% of the game, you literally just see garbage. And I get that he's a rookie, and that's why I'm not like upset or blaming him. Or, you know, saying like that like we made a bad pick in drafting Bryce Young. I think we did. I think we should have drafted Richardson. But I'm not saying like that was like the mistake and that like, oh my gosh, like Bryce Young, fire everybody, like terrible draft pick. But here's my question for you now. You've seen Bryce Young struggle. You've seen other rookie quarterbacks in the past who come in their first year. And typically when you're drafted with that high of a pick, you're coming into a bad team. Obviously, they wouldn't have the number one overall pick if they weren't bad. And the Panthers traded up, but they were still a bad team anyway. You have a, for the most part of his career, a really solid quarterback in the NFL in Andy Dalton as your backup, who I would say is one of the best QB2s right now in the league. Do you think it's beneficial for the Panthers? It's beneficial for Bryce Young? Whatever angle you want to come at it, is it beneficial for Andy Dalton to be starting right now, week three and beyond?
It really depends on if you want the Panthers to be in like win now mode. Like if you want to make the playoffs this year, yeah, you should probably start Andy Dalton. He's probably going to get you more wins than Bryce Young will. But if you want Bryce Young to develop as a quarterback and have in-game experience, which only comes by playing in a game, he's got to stay in. And I'm going to rattle off a list of QBs that came in, drafted high overalls, and started week one in their rookie year. Peyton Manning, Hall of Famer. Matt Ryan, solid career, took the Falcons to the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford has a Super Bowl. Cam Newton, also a really good player, took his team to the Super Bowl. Andrew Luck, really good player, retired too early. Ryan Tannehill, he's been kind of average, but still a pretty good player for most of his career. And then recently, Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is obviously the big example, and Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning leads the league in rookie quarterback interceptions in like NFL history. Trevor Lawrence is thrown into a terrible situation, has a bad week one. But it takes in-game reps. It takes experience. And it's a different type of experience than just being in practice and sitting behind a veteran. Yeah, you can learn a lot. But I believe, and it's shown, that you can learn a lot more by playing in a game. And learning from your mistakes, and you just have the willingness to learn and to adapt, and just know coming in that, yeah, your rookie year is going to suck. It's going to be terrible. It's a whole nother level in the NFL compared to college. But if you want that long-term success, I think if I'm the Panthers and I'm not so much focused on winning right now, like right this second, but winning 2, 3, 4 years down the road, I keep Bryce Young as a starting quarterback.
I actually, like, I hear everything you said, and I was going to bring up some of those names too. I could not like disagree more with everything you just said. I think you see so many times these quarterbacks, and Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow are two of the only exceptions where, and there's obviously like all those names that you listed off. That's great. But there's so many more guys who start their rookie year or start super early in their career and get thrown in on a bad team, and that's it. And they just suck. And Fields is a great example, and it's over. That's how dudes lose confidence. That's how you come out as a number one overall pick, as a top 10 pick, as a first round pick. Everyone's talking about you. You're the guy. You were the guy in high school. You were the guy in college. You come into the NFL. You get smoked. Now everyone's saying you suck, and you're like 21, 22, 23 years old. You can't stay off your phone. You can't stay off ESPN. Like, you're going to hear that. You're going to hear, hey, you're not good. You can't lead a franchise. You're not going to win an MVP, Super Bowl, even division, even have a winning season. Let's just start there. I think, and this is such an old school mindset of me, but it's so much more beneficial as a young guy to sit for 1, 2, 3 years and then come in. We see, I mean, extreme example, but Tom Brady. And I don't know if the plan was to have Tom Brady take over after Bledsoe, but Tom Brady sat for 2 or 3 years, came in. It was not like it was a force coming in because Bledsoe got hurt, but he balled out, right? You see these dudes who sit behind people for a little bit. That's what makes them better. You can't just throw guys in. Every example of a rookie quarterback who starts 15 seasons, with the only exception being Andrew Luck, who made the playoffs as a rookie, everybody else sucked, like bad, like worse in the division bad. And yeah, they show flashes, but this is where basketball, like professional basketball in the NBA, is just so different. Because yeah, in basketball, you're totally right. Like the Hornets right now, play the young guys. We're not going to sign a guy over like 25 years old. We're going to have the youngest team in the league, and we're going to run them all, and we're going to win like 15 games, and we've all accepted it, but these guys are going to get better. Brandon Miller is going to get better. Terry Rozier is going to keep being a leader. LaMelo Ball is going to take a step. Mark Williams is going to improve on his rookie season. Like all of these dudes who are 26 and younger, let's just give them the minutes. But in football, I think you're so wrong. I think you can develop behind a veteran. And that you don't need to get thrown into the fire and just get burned. Week 1, week 2, week 8. The season's done. You finished 4-12, 4-13, whatever. And you're like, man, I hate football. Like, I'm not good at the sport. Like, my confidence is so gone. Like, this is not fun anymore. Sit behind a guy. And also right now, because Bryce Young is like 5'10", 195, 200, small quarterback, he's taking so many hits right now. So many hits. I read somewhere that, like, we can't even run a quarterback sneak. Like, and the reason is because Bryce Young is too small. That is the literal reason why the Panthers can't run a quarterback sneak.
I get that. But he's not, if he plays or if he sits, he's not going to grow. Like, that's not going to change.
That's not true, because we see Jordan Love right now. We sat for 3 years.
I'm talking about growing in height. Like, he's still going to be 5'10".
Oh.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay. But also, I want to bring up, like, Trey Lance. Where is he at right now? With the Cowboys?
Backup. He's the backup on the Cowboys.
He's still a backup. Like, and he sat behind Garoppolo, got benched for Brock Purdy. Maybe that's just a terrible draft pick by the 49ers.
Oh, but he started. He was the number 3 overall pick, started. He got hurt. Yeah, but he didn't look good.
Yeah, no one, I said this, no one's going to look good their rookie year. They're going to suck their rookie year. But they develop right from that.
No, they don't. They just get
shot. Where's Trey Lance right now? A backup, because he got benched.
Because
bench Bryce Young, he might turn into a backup.
He's not going to turn into a backup. You don't draft someone number 1 overall to turn into a backup.
You don't draft someone 3rd overall to trade him away for a 5th round pick.
You do when you draft the best quarterback of all time as the last pick of the draft.
Yeah, that's wild.
Anyway, my point is, you've got a very, very capable veteran quarterback who can A, mentor Bryce Young, and B, would be a lot more willing to mentor Bryce Young if he's starting. Like, who wants to be the backup and mentor the starter who's, like, taking your job right now? Like, I think Dalton's a good guy. Like, Dalton, like, kind of gives me the vibe that, like, he's doing a good job, and, like, he's accepted the backup role and knows that, like, his time in Cincinnati as, like, the Red Rocket is over, and he's, like, living out the rest of his days in Charlotte. That's fine. But, like, there's still life in this guy. And he can play, and he can win you games, but more importantly, he's the kind of guy who has experience winning in the playoffs, losing, sucking, throwing 5 picks in a game, throwing 5 touchdowns in a game. This is like the ultimate guy that you would want mentoring someone, because he's seen it all.
I just completely disagree, and I mean, that's fine. But well, I'm gonna pull out. I'm gonna pull out. I just had an internship interview. I'm gonna pull out like a real world example here. I'm sitting in class listening to an accounting professor, and a professor who profession was accounting, and I'm sitting here listening to him. I think I would gain more experience actually going and doing an internship and doing accounting rather than sitting here listening to someone talk about accounting and teach me that way.
What if you gain more by hands-on experience and working on it?
And Dak Prescott is also a very another example that I left off this list. Dude is balling, led his team to a 14 and 3
behind Romo as a rookie
for like 4 games before Romo got hurt, and then he got thrown into the fire.
He was never supposed to be the starter, and he knew that. And Romo helped him out. Veteran quarterback who's had really high moments, won playoff games, really low moments, throwing 5 picks in a game.
Yeah, but he was thrown in like less than a month before the NFL season. You think Andy Dalton in training camp, even though he knows he might not even be the starter, isn't just still going to talk to Bryce Young and help him out anyway?
I don't know, but I'm sure he will. He seems like a good guy, but Favre didn't to Rodgers, and that happens. Like, yeah, you want to see.
And look how Rodgers turned out. He didn't have any mentorship.
You want to see your team. He didn't start as a rookie. He sat behind Favre.
It doesn't, okay, see, but it's still his first NFL game. He's still balling out.
You want to see your team do well.
He developed
well,
because
obviously.
He played in games and had seasons of experience.
You want to, that's not true. He sat for multiple years, came in, and was a star, like Jordan Love.
But he didn't have the mentorship that Favre didn't give him. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying, I agree with you. Yes, you, as a player on your team, regardless of how much you play or not, you want to see your team do well, because at the end of the day, you want to be credited for some success, get a contract extension, win a Super Bowl, make more money, do whatever. However, especially a quarterback where there's one guy starting forever, it's not like a committee or like how you start 3 wide receivers. There's one quarterback who plays every single snap. There's one dude starting the entire season. If you don't win that starting job, you're not playing barring something crazy happening, which has already happened a couple times. Shout out Zach Wilson. So yeah, you want to see your team do well, but you're fighting for a job. Like, you're not going to just share all your secrets if you're the backup, because you want that job. You don't want Bryce Young to come in and be the guy, because you want to still be the guy. And
I'm sure Andy Dalton is perfectly fine getting paid millions to not have his body hit every single week.
I don't think so. I think Dalton comes from
Dalton had his time in the NFL. He's like, I'm going to sit here and still get paid and mentor Bryce Young and help out any way I can.
He comes from the older generation where that's just like, you're not content being second. He wants to start. He wants to contribute. This is a perfect opportunity. You can mentor Bryce Young along the way, knowing that this is your team for the time being and that you're going to get Bryce ready for when you retire and you're still capable of playing football. And I'm tired of seeing Bryce Young throw the exact same pick 2 times to the same player in the same game with the same crossing route over the middle. Like, oh my gosh. But it's fine.
It's 2 games. It's 2 games. It's a
We're
whole
gonna
go season.
0-17. We're going 0-17.
I hope Bryce Young turns out to be the best quarterback to ever play football.
Yeah, me too, obviously. But that would
And I hope he starts the rest
up.
Of the game and does that.
That would be sped
That's
up.
That's what
if
I
we
hope.
Put Dalton in. All right, we're making no progress on this. We're gonna wrap this episode up. Last thing for today, internet take of the week. Today's internet take. If you were president of the NCAA, what rule about college football would you add or change? Jonah, I'm going to start with you. And off recording, I was going to say off camera, but we don't record this, like film it. Off air, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. Off air. You told me that you had a good one, but you would not share it with me. So this is your chance. Let's hear it. Rule change.
Yeah, this is my good one. We went through a period of just joking around and making up some random stuff. But I think this one's like legit and would add a different level of interest to college football, especially when college football is kind of dying. And I want to see college football get rid of extra points and get rid of punts. You go for it on every single fourth down. Field goals are still allowed. We'll keep that in mind. Field goals are still allowed. But you cannot punt the ball. So if you're in the opposing team's side of the field, or your own side of the field, rather, you got to go for it. And after every touchdown, you can choose to do a 1-point conversion, which would be done at the 2-yard line, a 2-point conversion, be done at the 5-yard line, and you can do a 3-point conversion from the 15-yard line. Okay. This is my addition to college
football. So you could score 9 points in a possession.
Yeah.
Like in theory, you would score a touchdown and then go for 3. Oh my gosh.
You could. I think it'd be interesting.
It's like how the Harlem Globetrotters have like the 4-point shot. That's what this is like.
Yeah, yeah. Which the NBA should add.
So like what's the kicker doing? He's just doing like one kickoff, either to start the game or halftime, and then he's just like chilling around.
And kicking field goals whenever they need to. That's fine. And if you want to get really, really, really interesting, if the kicker misses a field goal, the other team gets 3 points.
Okay. It was like 6 rule changes at one time.
Dude, I was rounding them off.
My rule change would be that if the offense fumbles the ball and it goes out of bounds, the defense gets the ball. Like the team on defense gets the ball. I don't think that we should reward the offense for fumbling. That's what it feels like. I'm not sure like what benefit this rule like really had. Like I guess
it just doesn't change possession. I think that's kind of where it
like,
is.
Understand the logic behind it. Like the defense made a good play. They forced the offensive player to fumble for whatever reason. And the ball just rolls out of bounds. So it's like, we're just going to give it back to the offense. Like, it feels like you're not punishing the offense.
Yeah, but the defense never had possession. That's like the legit like logic behind it.
I know, but I think there's not
a change in possession. I mean, I would kind of like to see it. Add some more spice it up football.
I think playing defense is like one of the, like playing cornerback in football, I think it's one of the hardest things to do in all of sports at this point. Just because there's so many penalties and flags.
Dude,
and
if you touch receiver, you can't
breathe on someone, or it's like pass interference, and it's just like it's just automatic forfeit touchdown if you like you can't do anything. So I feel like we don't like everything in football, college and professional, is so like offensively focused, and I get that because for the majority, like I'm not this way. I'm again like very old school in this, but the majority of the population, if the game is like 6-3. And like you don't care about like either team, you're gonna turn the game off. Like you don't care. If it's like a defensive battle, you don't care. I love those kind of games. Same thing in college basketball. College basketball is the same way, where like we're trying to make the game more offensive, and we want games to get out of like the like 60s and 70s and start getting up to like the 80s, 90s. I've never seen a college basketball game like that I've been a part of going to triple digits, but like that's where we're trying to get to. Is like these high scoring like 3-pointers, crazy windmill Statue of Liberty dunks, like all this wild stuff on offense, and we're making defense harder in college basketball. Same thing in football right now. It's so hard to play defense whether you play cornerback, linebacker, any of it. I just feel like this is the least that we could do for defenses, is that you made a good play, you forced a fumble, good job. The ball just rolled out of bounds because you just happened to force it like right on the sideline. You shouldn't be punished for that. You should get the ball back. I feel like that's pretty fair because we've already punished the defense so much. This is the least that we could do for them.
Yeah. But if you eliminate punting, that also punishes the offense. So
we can either empower the defense or take away from the offense. But either way, my defense wins, so it's all good.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to wrap up today's episode. First, we're going to hit our Bible verse of the day, which is John 15:5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Go follow the Paul on our socials. It'll be linked in the description. We'll be wrapping today's episode. We'll see y'all next time. Stay frosty.